Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. And it is one of the best Reaction Monday. 713-572-4610. How are you feeling about the Texans draft? Because I think this was an interesting one. This was, if you want to listen to Nick Caserio talking about two-year plans and everything like that, this might have been the draft for you. Started it off with cornerback Kamari Lassiter out of Georgia. There were some more intriguing names, I would say, that went before. You end up taking Kamari Lassiter. Nick Caserio makes it clear we're not drafting track guys. We're drafting football players. So Kamari Lassiter, your first.
Damn, was that shot at Miami?
I don't know what it was. I will say that.
Shot at the Chiefs?
If they were going to draft for need, I think cornerback was where you should do it. I was leaning more towards if you're going to draft for need, go with the corner instead of the defensive tackle. And I don't want to say this was just about need, but I think they kind of drafted for need in the sales pitch from Caserio. You're talking about him moving all around, all that. Like, I don't think you plug him in and he's automatically your number two corner. I think maybe you can get to that point. But this felt kind of like drafting for need, which if you were going to do that, we're fine with that. Then you had things getting real interesting. Then it got real strange because I'll raise my hand and say I kind of rolled my eyes when I'd see these mock drafts. And they had the Texans drafting a tackle, but I'll be damned. The Texans take Blake Fisher, the tackle out of Notre Dame, and Blake Fisher, in a perfect world, probably doesn't play this year, right? I mean, if we're to take what Nick Caserio said, he said Titus Howard is one of the best tackles in the NFL. You think Laramie is one of the best tackles in the NFL. You draft a guy, and you don't expect him to play this year. Which is fine if you're being proactive. I think in a perfect world, this guy becomes better than Titus or better than Laramie, or perhaps to where you feel comfortable enough letting either one of those guys walk in 2 years, and he's one of your starting tackles once you have to start making the tough decisions like letting C.J. Stroud or anyone go. But it's hard to get excited about
a tackle. I was about
to
say, is there a perfect world around here when it comes to the offensive line?
I mean, the perfect world is he never plays. The perfect world is Titus Howard and Laramie Tunsil play the whole time. And the realistic world is those guys miss games and this guy's able to fill in accordingly.
I agree. I think the perfect world would be Titus Howard playing the full season and not getting hurt.
Then you have round three, the safety. We wondered, are they going to get a safety? Are the Texans going to draft a safety? Well, they did. And this is the most excited that I've ever seen Nick Caserio. Kalen Bolick, safety out of USC, actually faster than your corner. He's big, fast, ball hawk type of safety, not really the box safety that we're used to around here. Kalen Bolick is the final pick of day two, and this was Caserio getting a little hardo after day two. And we're going to see the transition of Nick Caserio from hardo, like as the draft's going on, to maybe taking somewhat of a victory lap. Here was Nick Caserio after he drafted cornerback Kamari Lassiter, tackle Blake Fisher, and safety Kalen Bolick.
We don't really take a need-based approach. It's more football player-based approach, and you just can't have enough quality football players. There might be a situation where a player maybe doesn't play this year, but maybe his opportunity potentially could be more next year because of maybe how the roster is constructed. But we don't have a crystal ball, so we're not going to sort of make any predetermined decisions about a player's role, who fits where. Honestly, the competition will sort itself out. And what we've hopefully have done is just create a sense of urgency. And you have to play well and perform well in order to stay in this building. And if you don't, then we have to keep the 53 best.
Okay, so you have to play well, you have to perform well to stay in this building, or else you're going to be done. I'll say this about the post-day two draft with Caserio and D'Amico. If you would have just played that for me and you would have told me that this is a draft press conference, it felt a lot more like a day three where you're talking about, well, you know, you need depth. Well, you know, this guy can play a lot of places. You know, we're not going to pigeonhole players. Like, this didn't feel like, in a perfect world, you draft two starters with the premium picks. This kind of felt developmental, which, again, maybe you're looking ahead when you draft a tackle to C.J. Stroud getting paid, C.J. Stroud not being on his rookie deal, and this guy, you feeling at least comfortable that he can replace either Titus or Tunsil, that's fine. But this did not feel like, just on initial feeling, and I'm not even saying this is a bad thing, but this does not feel like, hey, we got a couple of starters. These guys are going to be immediate impact guys. It didn't feel that way.
Yeah, on top of that, we was talking about the day before, that morning, how all of these players fell to the second round, man. How we had at least 10 people that we can pick.
And they were all gone, it felt like. Except Adonai Mitchell. And here's the other thing. I hate to be this guy, but I'm already seeing some of this on the text line. It does kind of feel, and I know Seth hates this, and look, I don't love it, but it did kind of feel that the first three picks that you selected perhaps could have been there later. Now, I know that Nick Caserio said he got calls and people were going to take Bolick and all that. But I did wonder, okay, would Lassiter be there when they took Fisher, and would Fisher fall down a little bit? Because Fisher himself, they asked him, how interested do you think the Texans were in you? And he goes, well, I didn't know they were that interested. So he was basically talking as if he thought that perhaps the Texans had reached a little bit. Then we go to day three. And shout out to everyone that was at Daily Sports Club at day three. It was really fun. And I know a lot of people are talking about depth. I just don't usually hear depth after day one or day two of the draft. In round six, round four, you took Cade Stover, tight end out of Ohio State. This was the one that made the most sense. You need a tight end. You need a guy that can block. You need a guy that can move around. Even your top two tight ends, they struggle to block. The one that you feel good that can block, Tegan Quintiriano. Tegan has trouble staying healthy. So you got Cade Stover. You got to feel good about that. And then you get Jamal Hill, the linebacker out of Oregon, who you look at, started out as a DB, moves into the linebacker role. And one of the things that this Texans team struggled with, one of the things that they struggled with last year was they struggled guarding tight ends. The linebackers couldn't cover. I know Denzel Perryman's not here anymore, Henry To'oTo'o. So they talk about him being kind of a tweener. If you can lay this out right, Jamal Hill can help you in an area that was very, very costly. In fact, some of the games that you lost, if you would have had better coverage at linebacker and you would have had better nickel personnel, then you would have had a better job. So if this guy can play his way into special teams role, perhaps a coverage role, you got to feel good about that.
I agree, man. He kind of remind me of the guy that played for the Browns, Jeremiah Wusu-Koromoa or something. That dude is a fast dude that covers tight ends too. So I think that could be big for the Houston Texans for that defense.
Then round six, they finally got the running back. My God, they waited long enough. All of the other Shanahan descendants, whether it was LaFleur, whether it was Shanahan himself, they all got running backs early. Mike McDaniel.
They're going to drive you crazy, man.
Yeah, the running back thing, they're not quite there yet. But Jawar Jordan out of Louisville, this is a guy who I think is going to have a chance to make the squad as a kickoff returner, returned 2 touchdowns last year for Louisville, somewhat explosive. I don't know that you hold your breath and think this guy is going to consistently make plays in games at the running back position, but he's going to have a chance to make this squad when it comes to kickoff return. And then you get kind of in the developmental phase, round 7, Solomon Bird out of USC. He's one of those guys that D'Amico was pretty excited about, maybe a developmental guy. And then Marcus Harris out of Auburn and Ladarius Henderson out of Michigan. Henderson, a guy, maybe he's a better Austin Deculus. He's one of those versatile guys that you're going to be able to move around. Played some guard at Michigan, played some left tackle. First team All Big Ten last year.
So how you feeling about the draft, man? Are you feeling a little bit disappointed?
TBD. I'll give it a wait and see. I think this truly is a draft. A lot of times we say, well, you can't grade the draft immediately just because you're going to see players develop. I don't even know that they want to see Blake Fisher on the field at all. I don't know what role they liked last year. I think in the perfect world, the guys that they brought in for 1 year, Henderson and Okuda, those guys are your top two corners, and then Lassiter plays more inside and then maybe develops into someone you trust as a number two. So I truly think when you say, and when Caserio says, and when a lot of NFL folks say, you can't judge a draft in 1 year, I think this is the way that you look at that.
It's crazy because, like, in the past, I probably would have criticized this draft, but I got so much trust into D'Amico and Caserio where I'm like, I'm not sure about these guys, but I trust them. I'm actually perfectly fine with this draft, man.
Well, this is interesting because I think this was Caserio kind of doing a little bit of a 180. Because this was Caserio leading up to the draft, talking about the dumbest thing that we do in the world. The dumbest thing in the world to Nick Caserio. Here was what he said about draft grades and all that.
You know, we're going to have on Monday, right, or Sunday afternoon, draft grades, right? I mean, it's the most ridiculous concept that I've ever heard of.
Most ridiculous concept he's ever heard of, draft grades. Most ridiculous thing ever. Well, let's hear him at the beginning after day 3 and hear what Caserio says.
Another productive day for us. A lot of good conversations in the draft room. I mean, a lot of work, a lot of effort. I mean, D'Amico and I were just talking. It feels like we grinded out a win, but that's what this is about.
All right. So you grinded out a win. He didn't say we grinded it out. He said we grinded out a win. I think this was a draft that Caserio and D'Amico were very, very pleased with. And it's funny how he goes from, we're not going to hand out draft grades to, I think we grounded out a dub. I think the one thing about this front office is they've earned the benefit of the doubt. I would have liked to have come out with more immediate impact and perhaps even long-term impact offensive guys. They didn't look at it that way. I do think the tackle thing is interesting. Are they being proactive in that when you pay C.J. Stroud, you're not going to be able to pay both Tytus Howard and Laremy Tunsil. So that's the long-term plan. Short-term plan, they both missed time, and you heard Caserio speak on that. So you basically drafted a short-term tackle. So we'll see how it goes. For sure. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you here on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610. Some troubling news yesterday. Woke up to it. I guess stuff went about as good as it possibly could have. But Tank Dell was shot late Saturday night, early Sunday morning in Florida. Sustained minor wounds in Florida. I don't know what the hell that means. I don't know what a minor wound is. I guess non-life-threatening.
Yeah.
He's out of the hospital. I don't know the specifics of that. I think that's easy for us to say. But he was an innocent bystander in a shooting at a nightclub. He's already been released, expected to make a full recovery. That was kind of a scary moment when you first heard it. I guess based on what happened, I guess this is as good as it could possibly have gone.
Yeah, thank goodness, and I'm with you with the minor injury or whatever that is. That could mean anything, man. I'm not sure if he was actually shot, or sometimes like shells can hit you from other places and stuff like that. Like I'm not sure what that means, but I'm just glad he's good.
Yeah, I'm glad he's good too, and that's got to be mentally, like whether or not he's good physically. Mentally, that's got to be a little something. I mean, that's got to change you at an extreme level. But it's a good thing that Tank Dell is healthy. They're going to get some on-field work pretty soon, and we'll see how these guys do fit in, where they fit in. There's been questions on the text line about Fisher perhaps moving inside. I don't think that's going to happen. He is, in a perfect world, he's your swing tackle. And in an even more perfect world, he doesn't step on the field this year unless Tunsil or Howard get hurt, but he continues to develop. So as far as drafting a guy, moving him inside, no. As far as moving Tytus Howard inside to guard, that ain't going to happen either. Come on, man.
I would be
Casario dismissed that. Come on, man.
Yeah, I would be shocked if that happened this year, man. If somebody get hurt, then they move the rookie to the right tackle and put Tytus inside. I would be shocked, man. Y'all done paid that brother all that money to play inside.
Yeah. He's playing tackle. There's no doubt about it. He's definitely playing tackle. Zero doubt. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you. The draft is complete. The encore for Nick Caserio and D'Amico Ryans. We will continue to react. John Lopez said that the Texans did not lie. They told us what they think. He says they said it loud and clear. So we'll get into that and a lot more as the show continues. Landry Locker, John Lopez, and Figgy Fig. I actually started thinking about this, and I don't know if the NFL would ever take it this far, but this has to be the only non-sporting event where you get 3 days of the majority of attention from sports fans. What if the NFL went to a 7-day-a-week draft? What if they did round one on Monday and then they went all the way up to Sunday? I think I would be down with that.
I would be down with it too, but honestly, I ain't going to lie. The last 3 days, man, they kind of wore me out a little bit, man. I couldn't wait for Sunday so I could just kind of...
Just relax?
Just relax, yeah. So I can't imagine if it was 7 days of this.
I was definitely a little bit sideways on Sunday.
It was a good day to relax, man.
Yeah, no doubt. Props to everyone who came out to Daily Sports Club. We'll see how this draft goes. Again, best way I can say it is wait and see. If people would have put this out as a mock draft, no one would have said they cooked. But I think the biggest transformation that the Texans have made from when Nick Caserio first got here to now is they used to get zero benefit of the doubt, and now they get the benefit of the doubt to where they're going to get defended no matter what.
Yeah, they got my benefit. And the crazy thing is I felt like the most hype people were out of all of these draft picks was Cased Over, man. I never would have guessed that. I thought that would have been somebody like, oh, okay, they picked up a good player. That was probably the most hyped player in this draft for us.
Yeah,
for
and Nick Texans. Caserio was really excited about that. I don't think I've ever heard him speak as highly of a prospect. We'll hear that in the 11 o'clock hour. Your thoughts as well, 713-572-4610. How do you think the Texans did? Is there anyone disappointed in Nick Caserio and D'Amico? We'll mingle with the people. We'll go around the league. We'll also talk about what Nick Caserio and D'Amico Ryans told us based on their actual actions and what they decided to do. Reaction Monday continues post-draft here on Sports Radio 610 next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Biggie, let's hit him big time.
Houston, let's get in the loop.
All the jokes are coming fast and furious every time y'all talk about this guy.
With Landry Locker.
Landry, I mean, you're going to be in midday forever now.
And John Lopez.
On occasion, Lopez makes a statement that's so ludicrous, it makes me pick my phone up and call you guys.
You're in the loop on Houston's Sports Leader.
Your champ, 610.
Sports Radio.
Most viral moment of the draft. Most viral moment of the draft. It was day four. Texans make a trade. Position of need. None of that two-year plan stuff. We're talking about corners. We're talking about tackles. We're talking about long-term plans. This is a guy who should contribute immediately. He's very familiar with C.J. Stroud. And the internet went nuts when the pick was announced by Sketch on ESPN.
What's up, brothers? How are we doing? Make some noise! Come on! This is football! Come on! The Philadelphia Eagles have traded the 123rd pick to the Houston Texans! With the 123rd pick of the NFL draft, the Houston Texans select Cade Stover, tight end, Ohio State!
Now, there was some booze there.
It's
Michigan territory. Yeah, so if you're from Ohio State, you're going to get booed. So there was that. But that had the internet going nuts, and it had Nick Caserio more excited than I've seen him in a while. And I think of all the guys that are going to be immediate contributors, Stover's one of those guys. They need tight ends that can block. They need tight ends that can move around. He might be that guy, and Nick Caserio speaks very highly of him, as has C.J. Stroud. So of all the picks, that had to have been the one that excited Texans fans the most. I do think if we look at this draft, though, it does feel a little bit more like a defensive draft than an offensive draft. And the couple things that I want to know, and a lot of times you can't control this, there's a few questions that I would love to know that we'll probably never figure out unless we do some serious digging. Number one is, what would the Texans have done if the defensive tackles, specifically Newton or Fisk, had been available when they made their first selection? In other words, did they need a corner so bad that they were going to go corner no matter what? Or would they have gone defensive lineman if those two guys had been available? Because coming into this draft, there was talk about, well, the Texans, they really needed a defensive lineman. They got to get a defensive tackle. They didn't take one until round seven. So I was okay with that. I don't mind having the committee guys. Nick Caserio also mentioned that there could be possibilities of acquiring other guys. But what would they have done had that been available? Next question. Was it going to be Kool-Aid McKinstry? Kool-Aid went right before them. The Saints traded up and got him. Whether it was Cooper DeJean who the Eagles took. And I've got a new, my mindset has adjusted. Usually it's Baltimore. If Baltimore gets the guy, then I assume that he's going to be a badass. Philadelphia is kind of approaching that territory where if they get the guy, I just automatically think he's going to be a hell of a player.
Nah, they there for me, man. I get frustrated every time I see anything Eagles related at this point. I feel like they just I feel like they just get anybody they want. It's crazy, man.
And then you have Kool-Aid McKinstry, the pick before, who I think would have definitely been the pick. Kool-Aid McKinstry, he goes the immediate pick before. I got to think that Nick Caserio wanted that. And I got to think D'Amico wanted that. They'll never admit it. They do seem to like Lassiter. There's a lot of things to like when you hear Lassiter talks. There's some there's some makeup and stuff like that. But I got to wonder if Kool-Aid McKinstry was really where they were at, because that one felt like a kick in the junk. It also felt like it also felt like a calculated move by the New Orleans Saints to go up there and get Kool-Aid McKinstry.
Yeah, I was actually at the draft party, and when Kool-Aid went off the board, it was a lot of people in the crowd like, oh, man, oh.
Yeah.
Like, the whole crowd was like, oh, man.
You could just see him falling to you, and then boom.
Yes.
And then you go corner. Lassiter. The speed thing is interesting. You hear people talk about, well, you know, it's football, and I know Nick Caserio went hard-o and said, you know, we're not trying to draft a track team. We're trying to draft a football team. 4.6 is pretty slow for a corner, though. I know there's some examples. There's talk about the Richard Sherman ran a 5. Yeah, he was also a receiver, and he's huge.
Yeah.
So, on one hand, you get it, but on the other hand, I mean, 4.6 is a little bit slow. Then the tackle thing, that seems like a 2-year plan type of thing. It was surprising. It was something that was ridiculed, but you went with tackle. I'll put it this way. Did the Texans become a better football team with this draft? I don't know. I mean, I think a year from now, 2 years from now, it could play out and you could feel that way. But as far as, like, last year they drafted C.J. Stroud, they drafted Tank Dell, they drafted Will Anderson, obviously different equity, different ranges. Like, I could have without hesitation, and I could say this about a lot of teams. Like, I could say Indianapolis is a better football team now. I can say that Jacksonville is a better football team now. I don't know that these picks were made with this year in mind, which is fine. It's proactive. But if you asked me, do I feel like the Texans are 100% a better football team based on what they did? I can't 100% sit here and pound the table and say any one of these guys are without a doubt going to be on the field immediately in 2024. So I don't know that I can't necessarily say that.
Yeah, I kind of agree. I feel like this draft helped them as far as depth, because we seen how the offensive line was, even though the fill-ins actually did pretty good. But they were struggling in that area, man. And I guess they kind of anticipating, you know, people getting hurt. So they added
some depth.
Yeah.
Which, okay. I guess that's... I felt
they could have added some starters.
I guess that's the goal. The Kool-Aid thing was going to be crazy, though. There was going to be all kinds of marketing opportunities and stuff like that. I know a lot of people who personally went and bought some Kool-Aid for day two. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you. What did the Texans, what did Nick and D'Amico tell us with their actions in this draft, J-Lo?
Yeah, look, I'm listening to you guys, and I can't disagree. Like, you can't say, hey, they got better. But I think what the draft did tell us is they told us where they want to prioritize. Like, you know, I say it all the time, the draft doesn't lie. Their actions told us they want to help the cornerback position and the safety position. They want to help the secondary. I mean, that was a priority. Whether they think they can be starters or threaten or compete or whatever, I mean, two of your first three picks were in the secondary. And the one I can't get over, and maybe you feel completely different on this, that's not a little thing that they brought in Blake Fisher in the second round. That's a second round tackle, man. I mean, come on.
Well.
Like, come on. I mean, I know that's a cop out to just say, oh, come on.
Well,
but that's a second round tackle. When you'd have people talking about like linebacker, running back, cornerback, which they addressed right before that pick, et cetera, you've got to tackle. You got to tackle in the second round. That is a very high place to get a tackle. And for Nick to come in, I didn't expect Nick to say anything other than, you know, hey, you can never have enough tackles. It's a swing tackle or whatever, but it says something. It says something about your confidence level, whether it's you, D'Amico, or both of you with Tytus Howard, maybe even by extension, Kenyon Green. the confidence level you have in Kenyon Green, because maybe Tytus Howard will be end up being a better fit at guard or whatever, you know? So I can't get over they got a tackle in the second round. That's not a little thing. That's a big thing.
Well, Nick Caserio had some interesting things to say about that. We'll get into that at 11. I the eyebrows raised with something that he said about the state of the tackle position. And he also had some stuff to say about Lassiter, as well as his favorite draft prospect. He did not even try to hide that. I thought it was interesting that after the draft, he said that he felt like they grinded out a win. Mr. Don't grade drafts. He didn't say we grinded out. He said we grinded out a win. And I think Nick Caserio might just grind so hard to where if you're in the buildup to the draft, or you're in the mix of the draft, and Nick Caserio is up there, I think he's going to sound a little bit more stressed out. Maybe there's like a sense of relief, but I did think it was interesting when Nick Caserio goes up there and says, "We felt like we grinded out a win." That's a direct quote. That's how Nick Caserio started out.
Yeah.
The final day is he grinded out a win. Okay.
Yeah, that means that there were some struggles. There was some things that challenged them, which means maybe there were some players that they wanted and couldn't get or couldn't move to get.
Maybe they'll get there one day, but as we sit right now, D'Amico Ryans, he doesn't practice what other Kyle Shanahan descendants practice. Why is that? And was there an opportunity significantly missed by Nick and D'Amico? In the Loop continues on a Reaction Monday post-draft edition next.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
We're making the stories from outside the loop matter to you. This is Localize It.
Don't you know I'm local?
You're in the loop on Houston's Sports Leader. Sports Radio 610.
I want to get there. Maybe one day they will. Maybe one day D'Amico will get there. Love D'Amico Ryans. Wouldn't trade any coach for him. Love the mindset. Love the relationship between he and Nick Caserio, but man, at what point are they going to take the running back position more serious? I know that we're trying to talk ourselves into Sixth round running back, Jawar Jordan out of Louisville. No, Sean likes him because he had a good game against Notre Dame, which he kind of says tongue in cheek. Could potentially end up being a kick returner. But if you look at what all the Shanahan descendants do, despite having good running backs, and in many cases, all cases, they already have multiple running backs, they churn that position. Mm-hmm. The Rams with Sean McVay, they took Blake Corum. They had one of the surprises in the league last year with Williams. Green Bay, they got A.J. Dillon, and they signed Josh Jacobs. Also tried to bring back Aaron Jones before at half the money. They drafted Marshawn Lloyd. Miami, they got I don't even know how many running backs. Mike McDaniel, they took Jalen Wright. San Francisco themselves took Isaac Guerrero. The Jets, Robert Saleh, like all these descendants, they took two running backs. They took Braylon Allen and Isaiah Davis. All of these organizations, if it's in the first few rounds, first four, whatever, they aggressively pursue running backs. And I of all the things, maybe the Texans just aren't there yet. Those teams are a lot further along in their processes, perhaps. The Rams, they've been good for a while. They made the playoffs last year. Green Bay, maybe their roster's a little bit more complete. Miami, San Francisco, we know San Francisco has been close to a Super Bowl. Maybe those teams are just a little bit further along, but I hope we get to a day where DeMeco Ryans, Nick Caserio, they're trying as hard as they can to get multiple running backs that can make plays, because I think it's something they lack, and I think it's something you can get if you pay attention to it, pursue it, take it serious. Not there yet. Maybe it's situational. Maybe they're further back in the process. But I hope that one day the Texans get there to where they're doing what all the other Kyle Shanahan descendants are doing. Sean McVay, LaFleur, McDaniel, Shanahan, and Robert Saleh. I want to get there. Yeah. I really want to get there.
I mean, they've told us multiple times that they want multiple running backs. And the only thing I could figure, and maybe this is just me kind of justifying it, is they feel a lot better about Damian Pierce than the rest of us. No, I mean, I'm not saying I agree. I'm saying that's the only thing I can figure. And they think they're going to try to get this hidden gem, Jordan, in the sixth round and all that. But I mean, they clearly have the confidence in Joe Mixon, as they should.
Yeah, but they need more guys.
They need more guys.
Mixon. Yeah.
All I can figure, like I said, Landry, to be honest, I don't agree with that.
Yeah.
Like, I don't. I'm saying, just trying to think for them, that's got to be it.
Let's just go inside the mindset. I want to hear Kyle Shanahan talking about why he took Isaac Guerrero. You have Elijah Mitchell. You have Christian McCaffrey. So why take Isaac Guerrero? Here is Kyle Shanahan talking about that.
Yeah, we think he's got a lot of speed. All our backs can run, but it's nice to add one who possibly can run a little bit faster, just for the change of pace and things like that. Like his running style. His running style, I think, is similar to Elijah's and the style that he runs with. And he's built that way, and like the 40 that he has.
Do you want to add speed in general to your offense this offseason?
No, we didn't make a blanket statement like that, but it was we wanted to add some speed to the running back room if we could. But you don't just add that just to add it. It's got to be the right type of runner with the speed. And there was a couple guys in the back and in the draft who had that, and this is the one we really liked in that way.
All right. This is one we really liked. What about LaFleur? Good God. How many running backs do y'all need? Here's Matt LaFleur talking about it.
I think he's a piece that, first of all, he's big. He's 220 pounds. He's got really good speed. And I think he gives us an element out the backfield. You know, he really showcased that the week of the Senior Bowls, especially in the one-on-one situations that he was in. And just gives us a little different flavor, maybe.
Okay, so there you go. Multiple flavors would be nice. And we'll see how they feel about the running back position. I just, if they feel good about Damian Pierce, okay, then maybe they're seeing something behind the scenes. He's easy to root for. That's just the one thing that I would have liked to have seen. They didn't go wide receiver. Did you have any issue with the Texans not adding a wide receiver?
I didn't. That's one even going into the draft that I didn't feel like, yeah, cool if they get one. But I didn't have that big a problem with the wide receiver. Getting back to the running back thing, you know, they got Bullock, they love Bullock, but both Corum and Lynch were available when they made that pick. So clearly they made a decision, a decision about that running back position.
Is there anything that you wish would have gone differently for the Texans? Is there
three things?
There's three things that you wish would have gone differently for the Texans.
Funny you should ask, because I think the first one, and you know, obviously touched on this earlier in the show. I wish they would have been able to move up for Kool-Aid. That being said, we'll never know if they actually liked Kool-Aid, you know, better than Lassiter. I mean, we can speculate, but we'll never know. Maybe they felt that's our guy anyway. You know, we're the ones that were wanting Kool-Aid, you know, from the outside looking in.
Yeah, it's just hard to imagine them not wanting
It's hard to imagine them not wanting him, but we'll never know if they're like, you know what? We like Lassiter. This is our guy, you know. So that's one thing that I wish they would have done different. And this is maybe the toughest one for me. Adonai Mitchell going to the Colts, that just hurt. Like, that just hurt. Especially when the Texans might have been able to get him, you know, as well. So that was one. And then the third thing was I think they have real concerns at the safety position if they're going to pass on Corum and Lloyd in the third round. You know, at the running back, they must have some real concerns at the safety position. Maybe I would have preferred them to get Corum. I liked him all along in the draft.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us, and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, and the Rams, they just seem to know what's going on there. Here was Chris Ballard. Adonai Mitchell fell in the draft. I got to tell you, I think they got a pretty good one in Indianapolis.
Yeah.
Here was Chris Ballard. There were reports about diabetes. There were reports about attitude. Chris Ballard, GM of the Colts. By the way, how many times is he going to act for the behind-the-scenes videos like he does? I mean, he does it every year. It is. I mean, I would be surprised if he said, hold on, now record me, let's go. But here was him at the podium talking about Adonai Mitchell.
I don't know. I mean, I read some of the bull that was said on TV. I mean, just the typical, excuse my language, our typical league, unnamed sources, you know, bad interview. That's such bull. I mean, it is. It's bull. Like, put your name on it. I'm tired of, we tear these young men down. These are 21, 22 young men. And if people out there can tell me they don't, they're perfect in their lives. It's crap. This is a good kid. And, you know, for those reports to come out, like, you know, I said it last year. It's bull. I'm sorry. I apologize for the language. I don't, but I do.
I mean, is he acting? That seems pretty sincere.
No, that is, but these behind-the-scenes videos that they put out, oh, we're about to get the best pass rusher in the draft.
They passed on the best. Everybody
passed on the best.
But see, my point is that acting? Because it was kind of like what he just said there when we know he was being sincere. Or is he just putting a little extra on
it? He's always putting extra on it, for sure. And it's that's going to be an interesting thing to watch, how the Colts handle Adonai Mitchell. He seems kind of ticked too. Kind of seems like you got kind of got the chip on the shoulder. I just want to see how the Texans run the ball. I don't want to ask Joe Mixon to play 80% of the snaps. They need multiple guys that can make plays at the running back position, and
that's something that they just don't seem 100% committed to doing. Mixon was kind of a fallback plan for not getting Saquon Barkley. I like Mixon. And now you can't convince me that two down on this running back depth chart is something that's encouraging. We don't know if Damian Pierce has like some miraculous comeback season. That'd be great. It's easy to root for. It's easy to cheer for. It's not going to be for a lack of effort. Dare Ogunbowale, he's a special teamer.
Yeah,
he's been in the league 8 years. Like, Dare Ogunbowale should never be someone that you feel second most comfortable putting out there at that position. And then you drafted the guy in the sixth round. You hope he can be a kick returner, but expecting him to be an immediate contributor seems like a stretch. Casario did say, though, that they're going to actively be adding players, perhaps subtracting players. So I would anticipate that they might get in on that running back market, which is something that they need to do. Mm-hmm. They need to do that. And it's about two down. It's not about Joe Mixon. I like Joe Mixon. I think Joe Mixon is an upgrade, but they brought in Devin Singletary last year because they thought he was going to back up Damian Pierce. They misevaluated that situation, whether it was a short-term misevaluation or a long-term misevaluation. They misevaluated it, and it hurt him a lot. It hurt him a lot to not have, as Kyle Shanahan put it, as LaFleur put it, as McVay puts it, as all these Shanahan disciples put it, running backs that bring multiple things. The 49ers traded an entire, like, almost half a draft for Christian McCaffrey. They're still drafting Elijah Mitchell. They're still drafting running backs in the fourth round. Maybe it's about not having the time to build a roster like those other teams, which I can understand, but the running back room is, I don't want to say terrifying, but it definitely is a cause for concern.
I'm wondering if it's more of like a blind spot. Like, they're relying on the system so much, and they're relying on Damian Pierce coming back in a certain way, that they don't need, you know, another running back. But clearly he's cut from the cloth of you can't get enough running backs. So that's kind of, I'm wondering if that's just maybe a blind spot that they have with this system.
It'll be interesting to see how that goes. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you. Coming up, what Casario told us with his actions and words, including when it comes to the most premium picks. Let's hear from Casario next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road, the steeper the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend, or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently with offline maps and on-trail navigation. Download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.